last week when we talked, we were talking about that terrible accident that took the lives of 7 people and the involvement of the Border Patrol. At that time, there were some conflicting stories. And again, this week we have a story of a migrant, this time being run over by a Border Patrol agent. What happened?
The details are still pretty sketchy, but Renee Klyjik, one of our reporters at El Paso Matters, did get the Border Patrol to confirm that on July 1st, near the Isleta port of entry, agents were searching for 3 migrants they suspected were in the area. There was some kind of vehicle pursuit, and they say that one of the migrants was hiding in the brush or something like that, and the agent accidentally ran over him. The man received some serious but not life-threatening injuries and then was deported a couple of days later by the Border Patrol. And that's raised some questions from the ACLU's Border Rights Center about transparency and commitment to a thorough investigation by the Border Patrol. They did not publicize this. They rarely do. They rarely bring up any negative incidents, and it's usually left up to the media to try to ferret these things out. So they didn't disclose the incident, and then they quickly deported the one key witness to the event. So there's some criticism over that.
Absolutely. And in El Paso, the numbers just keep rising at a pretty extreme rate. Tell us about the last week of coronavirus cases.
Yeah, it's bad, and we've talked about this for a couple weeks, and it keeps getting worse. We're on pace to exceed 2,000 cases this week, and it's important to remember that until 3 weeks ago, we'd never been over 600 in a week. So the numbers are still rising, and I came across a data point that just stunned me the other day. It took us 97 days to get our first 4,000 COVID-19 cases in El Paso. It took 20 days to get our second 4,000 cases. So it's still rapidly rising. We're seeing increased pressures on our hospitals and ICUs, although we're not seeing quite the emergency state that we're seeing in, say, Houston or the Rio Grande Valley. We still have some capacity to care for additional people.
That's good news. And today is the last day of early voting.
Yeah, so the El Paso still has some spring elections to settle. And in Texas, you have to win a party's nomination, you have to get majority of the vote. And if no single candidate does, then the top 2 finishers go to a runoff. So we have a handful of local elections that are being settled. Probably most notably is the district attorney's race to replace Jaime Esparza, who's retiring after 24 years. So several things on the ballot, but as often happens with runoffs, not a lot of turnout. I think we're less than 5% of registered voters have cast votes so far, which, you know, probably means we'll see, you know, 9 or 10% of all registered voters cast ballots by next Tuesday when we have election day. Very low turnout, and of course complicated this election by COVID-19 and Texas's pretty strict mail voting laws that preclude most people from casting a mail ballot and requiring them to go out in the midst of these horrible numbers that we were just talking about. So all kinds of challenges. We do have a voter's guide at ElPasoMatters.org for those who want to vote early today or go out on election day. We've got good interviews with all of the candidates about their views on key issues, so I would encourage people to take advantage of that.
And other than the district attorney race, any other races that are getting a lot of attention?
Yeah, there's a county commissioner race between Vince Pettis, the incumbent, and Ileana Holguin, who's the current Democratic Party chair. But probably the most interesting, for all the wrong reasons, is a race for the 388th Family District Court. These are people who settle, you know, really serious child custody issues. And you have 2 candidates that are just waging an incredibly nasty personal campaign against each other. The incumbent's Laura Strathman. The challenger is Marlene Gonzalez. And we decided at El Paso Matters that we wanted to get the race back on the issues. And so we sought to reach out to the candidates, and Judge Strathman was the only one who would respond. Her challenger didn't even have an interest, apparently, in talking about the issues for this very important race. So just a really, really bizarre race.
All right. You can find all of these stories at ElPasoMatters.org. Thank you, Bob. Have a great week.
Thanks so much.